Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and welcome to today's episode on Hacker Public Radio. Today we have an interview for you from with Moose, coordinators for the Ohio Linux Fest 2011. The Ohio Linux Fest is a free and open source conference and expo in Columbus, Ohio, and it's going to be held on September the 9th to the 11th, 2011. Okay. How are you doing, Moose? Are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm doing well, thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight and recording a show.
Thanks for the invitation.
Not a problem, not a problem. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and why you're on the call today?
I'm with the Ohio Linux Fest for 4 years now, I think. I started working with the training sessions that occur on Friday and sort of worked my way up. And this is the year that I am chairing the conference. So I sort of have my fingers in every little part of the pie this year.
Okay, if you could just tell the listeners what the Ohio Linux Fest is. I'm working on the assumption that nobody listens to any other podcasts out there, but if you could just give us a rundown on a general background on where it started, how long it's been running, where it's physically located, and, you know, a general what you can expect.
Well, this is the ninth year for the Ohio Linux Fest. The Ohio Linux Fest started out originally as an interlug meeting for various lugs around the Columbus and other parts of Ohio area. And it grew. It grew substantially. And what happened really was 1 year they sort of went to put together and it wasn't completely coming together. And one of our people, the amazing Bethlyn Eicher, came in and just grabbed the horns and pulled it into the conference that it is today. And we've gone from, and I've seen pictures of the first year where it was held on the Ohio State campus, and there's 60 people in a classroom all listening to somebody talk. And the past couple years, we've had between 1,100 and 1,300 people total come through our doors.
Wow.
So yeah, we continue to grow. As we've been planning this year, we're already talking about what can we do to make sure we continue to grow next year. You know, how do we spread out? What more do we add? Which way do we go? So we're constantly growing, and we get people from all over the U.S. and from Canada because we're actually fairly close to parts of Ontario.
Right.
So we get folks from all over the place, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, I hear it's fantastic. Unfortunately, again, I don't live in a universe where I can afford to go, but hopefully with our friend Klaatu being there, we'll be able to get a lot of recordings so we can have at least the feel of what's going on at the event. You say it's from the 9th to the 11th. Is that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Or
That's correct.
Okay. I'm looking at the schedule here on the Friday, and I see there's three tracks are assigned, the OLF, the Early Penguins, the Medical Track, UbuCon, and Cloud Community Day. UbuCon and Cloud Community Day don't appear to be running on the Friday, is that correct?
No, they are running. They're just empty on the schedule because we have yet to get the exact details of what they're doing. Both
okay.
UbuCon and Cloud.com, which is a company that used to be known as NAS, are committed to putting on a day of stuff related to their particular areas. I'm not quite sure what the cloud schedule is. I've seen a preliminary schedule for UbuCon, but it's all talks related to Ubuntu, including talking about the, I forget what they call them, the specific Ubuntu logs.
Colos.
Colos, that's it. Yeah. The UbuCon, like the medical track and the early penguin track, are free and open to anybody, can wander in. The Cloud Community Day will require some pre-registration, but it will still be free, if I remember correctly. The only thing that costs money on Friday is the OLF Institute, which is our day of professional and personal training classes.
How much does that set you back?
It's $350, which is, it sounds like a lot of money, but if you...
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, if you start comparing what you can get at from other places, a day of training, we're really competitive. And our classes tend to be geared more towards system administrators, but this year we're really branching out. We've got a class on Arduino programming and a class on photography and using open source to manipulate and archive and such your pictures, as well as other classes involving Python and Nagios monitoring and databases. And we've got a couple of Apache classes from somebody from Apache. And
this is on what
this is all on Friday.
On Friday.
Wow. We have a class. It's actually only $250 for people who, it's called Linux Basics. It's for people who want to learn more about Linux but are afraid to give it a spin, who want someone to hold their hands while they do their first install. And we'll offer up laptops, which the students can then buy for something like $100 at the end of the class. And we'll walk them through installing Linux. And another popular class we offer every year is what's called a LPIC cram session, because on Sunday we offer certification testing, including the testing from LPI. So for people who are looking to take the 101 and 102 tests from LPI, we have an all-day cram session for people to take. So that's just some of the classes that we're offering on Friday. And $350 gets you, gives me the day of classes, lunch on Friday, lunch on Saturday, and a commemorative OLF t-shirt.
And do you have to pay more than to just do the exam?
Yeah, the exams have their own cost. They're variable depending on which exams you take. LPI offers a bunch of different exams.
I don't think they're that expensive either.
I think you are correct off the top of my head. Of course, I can't remember. I don't think I've gotten that information up on the website yet because I'm a bad person.
No, not at all. It's we're recording this quite early in the year, so I mean a lot of things will change, and the folks here know how to use a web browser, so they can mosey on over to ohiolinux.org and check out the schedule over there. Just let's finish off what's going on the Friday. Can you tell us what the medical track is, and why do you feel that you need a medical track?
Open source in medicine is becoming a really hot topic. A lot of the more expensive computer conferences are starting to pick up and cover it as well. And the whole idea is that, especially from anything from your records to the information that doctors use to store their own information, communications, anything that's electronic in the hospital should be running open source. The woman who runs it, Susan Rose, who is a recently retired nurse, has a very big interest in this. She used to work for the VA system, and the amount of money that the VA would spend on proprietary software, they're not the only ones.
I understand.
Also, the concept of using open source for example, for your medical records, how wouldn't you like it to be easier for you to get a copy of your own medical records? Now, I don't know when the last time you tried getting a copy was, but the last time I did, I practically had to get an attorney involved there are laws to prevent in the U.S. at least, to prevent other people from getting at your records, but it's impossible to get your own. So some of the talks that Susan's got lined up talk about everything from using open source for your records, using open source to run a medical office, and even using open source to do medical research experiments. And this is a really big thing now. And there's a lot of interest between both the IT world and the medical world. There's a lot of overlap.
Indeed. I'm not familiar with the industry around Ohio, Columbus especially. Is there a lot of medical manufacturing companies there, or is this just happens to be because of her, because you have a community member who's interested in the topic?
It's because of that. I'm not from Columbus itself. I'm actually from about 3 hours north of Columbus, although some of our, a third to a half of our staff are from the Ohio-Columbus area, and the rest are scattered around, even in other states like me. This started with Susan's interest in this, and she started 2 years ago with a BOF, a Birds of Feather section, which was standing room only. And this has become pretty popular.
Fantastic. What's the Early Penguins schedule track? I see you've got writing games with TLC.
TCLTK? TickleTK, as it's called, among other talks. Early Penguins started, again, 2 years ago. When we took one look at the piles of talk submissions that we got, you always get more than you can use. And it was criminal to say, okay, we got 80 submissions, we have 55 that we badly, badly want, how do we pick? And someone said, no, we've got some extra space on Friday. What if we just started offering some of those talks there? And we can call it Early Penguins, and it'll be free just like on Saturday. People could just wander in and see. Sort of, it's a preview, and somebody once described it as the best of the rejects, but that's kind of a cruel and wrong way of looking at it, because these are people that we didn't reject because their talks were bad. They were people that we had to reject because we just couldn't find the room of them. And say reject, I mean for Saturday. We only have, I think it's 22 or 23 slots on Friday, or Saturday, excuse me. And when you've got 80 submissions, we rarely get a submission that we don't say, oh, I want this. Oh, I want this.
I understand. And just the last one of that talk. Sorry, I'll just go through the Early Penguin talks. So what kind of cult is Linux anyway? Is Mark Terranova, The Classic Economy for Free, Bethany Anders Beck, Linux for All, Dird Mokuri Shirin. Is there a better pronunciation of that name?
I don't know. I have not met him yet.
Okay. 3D printing and the Early Penguins keynote, The Past 20 Years of Linux by John Maddow-Call. I don't think any track with John Maddow-Call in it is ever going to be a reject track, in my opinion. Carry on.
I was going to say, Mad Dog is basically the godfather of the Ohio Linux Fest. If Mad Dog can make the conference, Mad Dog is sitting at the conference. And there's nobody better to be starting out and ending the Ohio Linux Fest main bulk of the conference with Mad Dog talking about the past 20 years of Linux. It's where he'll be starting.
Fantastic. So this is the Friday we've worked through. I guess on Friday, if you have a company who's willing to give you some funding for training, that would be an ideal way to get to the Linux Fest. And seriously, $350 and probably for under $500 for the training, and whatever it is for the hotel, it's a relatively cheap HR win for your department on the training section. So I advise everybody to see if they can wangle that out of their company.
Yep, definitely.
Speaking of hotels, do you have a recommended hotel, or how does that work?
Well, our conference hotel is the Drury. The Drury Inn, the Columbus Arena District location. There's a link if you go to hotel info on our website, ohiolinux.org. We get a discount, which includes a parking spot. When you go through the click to make your reservation. If you go through, when you make the reservation, It'll claim that you're going to pay for parking, but you won't. It's a really nice hotel. I mean, it's not spendy, splurgy. But it's very clean. It's very, very comfortable. We're really happy with the Drury. And it's right next door to, and actually attached to, the convention center. There are other hotels around the convention center as well, and we'll be putting up links to them soon as we bring them up as backup hotels, because we do sell out the Drury.
Okay, fantastic. So on the Saturday, starts at 8:45 with a welcome in General Track 1 and General Track 2. So we have 1, 2, General Track 3, 4, and then we have the Open Source Solutions stage. Can you tell us what the Open Source Solutions stage is before we start talking about the other four tracks?
The Open Source Solutions stage came out as a way for sponsors to be able to talk about their products. Because the mission of the Ohio Linux Fest is to talk about free and open source, and we want to make things available for everybody, we try to keep the talks and the general tracks as vendor neutral as possible. So anybody who wants to talk about something that's specific to what their company makes, we steer them over to the open source solutions stage. And these are usually our sponsors who are also to have a table or a booth at our expo area. And some of the talks from the open source solutions stage have been rated some of the highest. This room is usually standing room only. We have Hewlett Packard already lined up to talk. Last year, someone from IBM gave a absolutely fantastic talk that was spilling out into the hallway. And I feel terrible. I can't remember what it was. This is a really popular track.
Who are your sponsors exactly? Google, HP, IBM, HostGator, OpenStack.
These are folks that we've got so far. We're still working on some more. Google, HP, and IBM, our platinum sponsors, have long been supporting us. We're always very thankful to them, but we're thankful to all of our others as well: HostGator, OpenStack, Pogo, Linux, No Machines, or our tools, I believe, is new this year for a reason. And we have others coming down the pike. We are always accepting new sponsors. I don't want to start giving away the folks who are in negotiations, but this list is going to grow.
Fantastic. Okay, so on the Saturday from 8:45 to 9 o'clock, we have the welcome, and in track 1 and 2. Is 3, 4 and the open solutions stage empty at that time? And also, I guess it'll be the same with the morning keynote from Kathy Malrose. Would that be correct?
Yes. We try not to schedule anything else at the same time of our keynotes.
Okay. So her talks to be determined, but on the webpage about the hosts, you have that herself and her husband founded Optimized for Linux Computer Company in the early 2007. Okay, so then after that, there's a room change to make way for the staff. And in track 3 and 4, in 3 we have 48-hour film project competing with open source software, Ronald Hess. Linux and open source for almost zero cost PCI compliance. Rafik Redman. And then HP will be in the open source solution stage. Anything to say about these talks?
Just that I every time I look at the schedule, I think that if I were attending this conference, I could not pick which one to go to.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
The media talks are always very popular, but last year we had a lot of complaints that we didn't have enough business-related talks, and I think the PCI-compliant talk is one of the ones that's going to make our business-oriented people a lot more interested.
Absolutely. Then they from 11 o'clock to 11:50, we have How Soon Is Now by Matteo Tudon. Then in track two, Level Up with Lies, Damn Lies, and Statistics. Turn your live data into data-driven video games for Floss by Mel Chow. Final Cut, Novel Cut, The Industry and You by Mr. I Love Tattoo from Hacker Public Radio and some other podcasts. Case Great for Less, Filing Open Source Marketing by Taurus Baloch. And then... Sorry, anything you want to say about
that? This is one of those, the more I look at it, the more I wonder how could we put these four up against each other. How Soon Is Now, it doesn't look like much of anything until you actually look at what the talk is about. And basically, it's about dealing with the fact that break-ins to especially corporations are occurring almost on a basis, and you know, what we have to do about it. I have never seen Matteo Tom talk, but I can tell you that Mel, Klaatu, and Tar, I don't have to tell you about Klaatu, and Taurus are what I learned from a friend to call phone book readers. You could hand them a copy of a phone book and put them on stage. It would be riveting. And I want to be in like all four of these rooms at once.
Speaking of which, will you be recording the shows this year?
We try to audio record every show. There are a couple of speakers who specifically requested not to be recorded, which is their privilege. I could not tell you which ones off the top of my head, unfortunately. We do audio recordings. We get a lot of requests for why aren't we doing video recordings, and the answer to that is we haven't been able to afford equipment yet.
Good answer.
If anybody wants to help us out with that and sponsor some recording equipment, video recording equipment, we'd be delighted.
Just to put the word out to you that here in HPR, if you want to another avenue to release those episodes here, we're more than happy to release them on our syndicated Thursday for the coming year. Okay. Carry on.
No, I was just going to say we make the recordings publicly available, and I believe we put the list on. The link to them on our front page of our website. So,
are they released under a Creative Commons license?
I believe so, yes.
Well, then they'll be on Syndicated Thursday, I can assure you of that.
Terrific.
Then 12 to 12:50, Password Theory, Breaking Encrypted File Systems by Aaron Tupons. HP WebOS, The Mobile Linux Platform Done Right by Matt Naroki. Advanced Video Production with Floss by Kirk Kimmel. The Business of Linux, How Individuals Can Get Into the Game by Caroline Robinson. Anything to say there?
Again, this is one of those, you know, which one do you pick? Dealing with encrypted file systems, this is not going to be a talk for beginners, but it's bound to be absolutely fascinating. HP WebOS... Again, you know, mobile Linux is just absolutely fascinating, at least to me.
Yep.
Again, video production, media talks are always well populated, very popular. And Carly is just a fantastic speaker. We're really looking forward to having her.
It's kind of cool. You've got two security related talks, one after the other in the same room, two video related talks, one after the other in the same room.
Intentional.
Yeah, I guess it was. Who did your schedule?
I'm sorry?
Who's behind the schedule?
Oh, our speakers here is Phil Ritchie. This is his third year, more or less, handling the speakers. So he's got a really good feel for what we need. He works with a small help from others offering opinions, but he also understands he's got a good feel for what we need and who our good regular speakers are and what's together well. So,
gotcha. Do you have the, will you be using the Android application from our good friend Dan from the MIT-TV cast?
I don't remember if that's the person I've been talking to. This is one of the Linux Link guys?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I have been talking with him about that, and I need to get together with him and discuss how we can make this available, but we would really like to. I'm sure there's a lot of people there who would prefer to be able to just look at their palm and know what's coming when.
Gotcha. Speaking of the Linux Link Tech Shows, guys, they're going to be doing their live broadcast and raffle between 1 and 2 on the Saturday, which is a great time so that they'll have everybody else from all the shows available there.
That's our lunch break. Is only available to people who sign up for the professional pass, as it's called, which is the $350 that gets you the Friday class, or the supporter pass, which is $65 and gets you a t-shirt and lunch on Saturday as a thank you. And so this gives folks a chance to grab a lunch and come back to the ballroom too and get involved with the tech show, which was really popular last year. Everybody loves these guys. I don't have to tell you that.
I know, yeah. The so then after that, 2 o'clock to 2:50, we have Your Databases Exposed, HTSQL by Catherine Devlin. Real World Job Skills, The Free Software Way by Scott Merlin. Asterix Hacks by Kevin Fleming. Managing a Computer Lab in a High School Environment by Michael Fisher.
Again, popular talks. Asterix is always a big thing. Catherine Devlin is another person. You could get her up on stage with a phone book and she'd just be absolutely fascinating. Scott Merrill has been involved in OLF off and on over the years, and he's one of our favorite people. Mike Fisher is he's actually a high school teacher, and he's coming to the festival with 4 of his high school students to give them a chance to network more and learn more about open source in general. And we're really looking forward to this chance to sort of be a living lab, I guess it is, for some students interested in working it with open source.
Absolutely fantastic. Again, as I say, you know, I'm getting grumpier and grumpier reading this list because knowing that I won't be there for these.
Sorry.
That's okay. What can you do? From 3 to 3:50, then we have Hadoop, the new paradigm for analyzing data by Ram Rao, Robotics Programming 101 by Scott Pearson, Linux Appliances Future Integration Available Now by Don Vosberg, Linux and Open Source in Math, Science, and Engineering by Douglas Davis.
Again, a bunch of 4 people really involved in open source. I think the robotics programming is going to be interesting to everybody. Hadoop is really popular. I keep running into references in it all over the tech websites or about various things. Getting Linux involved in science and engineering is always important as we move on, and Linux appliances is again a popular topic.
Yeah, and again, see here in the afternoon we have a sort of trend breaking out into track 1 appears to be sort of webby cloudy stuff. And track 4 seems to be educational stuff, so again, good schedule coming up there. And then 4 to 4:50, Crash Course in Open Source Cloud Computing by Mark Hinkle. Open Source GIS with mapserver.org, KMAP, and PostGIS by John Jackson, Graduating the UI by GObjects for Beginners by Paul Friels, So You Want to Write a Technical Book by Drew Levinge. Hit me.
Again, popular topics. Cloud computing, I'm sure you know, is a big buzzword right now. Everybody's all about the cloud. The GIS, the open source GIS stuff, and everybody is, a lot of people use map stuff all the time without even thinking about it anymore. The PyGObject is a Python GUI. Paul Friels is an amazing speaker, as is Drew Levine, who is teaching a FreeBSD for Linux administrators class on Friday.
Ah, yeah, you're doing a certification for BSD as well.
On Sunday, yes.
Okay. So that is it. 5:50, there's a room change, and then there's going to be a talk by Bradley Kuhn.
Yes, and if you reload the webpage, you'll see that it actually has a title now.
And that title is... Ding, ding, ding. With software as a service, is only the network Luddite free. Ooh, Bradley.
Talking about copyright issues and the like having to do with the software as a service concept.
Yeah. And then the closing keynote is The Next 20 Years of Linux by John Mad Dog Hall. Fantastic. I've yet to see him speak. And,
oh, my.
That will be a... Yes, I know.
I'm so sorry.
All very well for you people living over in the States, being able to go to conferences where he attends.
Oh, I'm sure it wouldn't be very hard to get Mad Dog to go just about anywhere. He pretty much was just spent almost a month, I think, in South America going to various conferences and celebration 20 years of Linux and stuff. You just need to get the right conference over there to invite him.
Exactly. I'll get on to that. Anything planned for the Saturday night?
We are planning to have our regular after-conference party as well as our Friday night pre-party, as we call it. We're still finalizing details of where to have it. It's a bit of an issue because there really aren't many places close by that can handle around 500 people at once that... don't charge 6 arms and 5 legs and a pancreas.
Gotcha.
We usually get some vendor support for these parties, for which we're always very thankful. But that support only goes so far if the site is charging a lot of money.
Yeah.
So.
But those parties are the thing of legends in the podcast community. So,
I'm sure we'll continue the legend.
Yes, I imagine so. Unfortunately, Dan isn't going to be there this year. Congratulations to him and his wife. But I'm sure one of the other TLLTS guys will step up into the fray and continue the legendary epics. On Sunday, what is the story? What's going to be happening?
On Sunday, as we said before, we do our certification testing. We do various LPI exams. And look, there's the price, around $100 for the exam, except for the one of the higher up left ones. Yeah. And I do have the information for the BSD exams to pop up here. They're offered at 2 times, I think 11 and 2, so that people can actually take more than one test if they'd like. On Sunday, we also run our Diversity and Open Source workshop, which is a developing thing as we try to get a feel for the best way to do it. But we're basically talking about the best way to encourage diversity in open source as a whole, as well as in the LUG and conference world as well. The idea that we don't want to see lugs at conferences and open source projects and everything just be a sea of white male faces. There's nothing wrong with white male faces, but other people, the more other people are involved, the more other people feel comfortable being involved as well. So we're not out to disclude, to encourage any sort of discluding. We're not out to encourage other people to stop or go away. We're out to encourage more people to get involved in open source. There's another group from Fedora that's interested in holding something on Sunday, and we're working out thing with them as well.
Okay, fantastic. One thing we didn't cover was the Bird of the Feather sessions.
Yes, unfortunately, Bird of Feather sessions are up in the air right now, although we hope to fix that soon. We have a rule that we started last year that if somebody doesn't take responsibility for something, it doesn't get. And we started this because we're an all-volunteer organization. Nobody collects a salary. Nobody gets any out of this, out of some satisfaction of working as a team to get a really great event done. But because of that, we also have a tendency to say, hey, we need to do this. And then the next thing you know, each of us is doing 17 jobs. And most of us also have a full-time job for that pay stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we get burned out. We get exhausted, stuff starts not getting done because we're overtired or you know, exhausted. So we adopted a rule of, that's a great idea, now find somebody to own it. So we put out a call for someone to take over the Birds of Fetishes, and we've had a few people respond and are going to pick one and get them going soon. We're going to run our Birds of Feathers sessions on Saturday during the main conference. And it's basically an informal way for a bunch of people to get together and talk about something that's not being addressed otherwise in the conference.
That is absolutely cool. And then, of course, we have the exhibitions and exhibits.
Yeah. We get a host of people from our sponsors to some of our media sponsors to we have a set number of tables for what we call .orgs and edus, nonprofits who can buy a table to display on our expo floor for a much lower price. And it's fairly good size. It's a great place to meet some of the companies that you hear about, and it's a great place to pick up little tchotchkes and toys, and it's always crowded. Excuse me.
Not a problem.
Allergies.
Yeah, I know people are allergic to me all the time. I'm just wondering, will we be able to organize a table there for Hacker Public Radio, or at least have some presence, maybe slipping in on the Linux Link Tech Show booth, but we'll have to see. Get closer to the data.
Well, think about it, Tim. If you're gonna want your own table, we only have a minimum number of a small number of tables for the .orgs. I forget how much we charge for them. I want to say $75, and that may be more than it actually is. But they're first come first serve. And we run out. So don't wait too long.
Yeah, I don't mind paying that. But obviously I won't be there. So if there is somebody in the HPR community that isn't Tlatu who would like to help out and man the booth or woman the booth or whatever the booth, can you get in touch? admin@hackerpublicradio.org. I'd really love to have a presence there. We're Code Cruncher, Pokey, myself, and Tlatu, we're really building up a nice conference pack put together. So essentially all you need to do is come there, sit down, and not go to anything and not enjoy the rest of the show. I'm really selling this booth duty now, but if somebody wants to volunteer for that, that'd be fantastic, and we'll see that you get all the kit that you need.
The first year I went to Ohio Linux Fest, the first year when I was involved with the training classes, were done with a different another organization, which was there, and the organization also had a table, and I spent all of Saturday, I didn't get to see one talk, I spent all of Saturday at the booth, the robot, just over and over again, giving the same pitch for our organization, and by the time 6 p.m. rolled around, I was like, somebody find my off switch.
Yep. I know, I've done booth work myself, so I'm actually looking forward to doing that in coming soon. Actually, it'll probably have been by the time that you hear this. I'll be going over to OggCamp in the UK. So that's pretty much it. Was there anything that we didn't yet cover in the interview? What are the nearest airports, nearest transport? How do people get there?
To be honest, the majority of the people drive. A lot of people come from within a 3-hour radius. But we do get a number of people who fly in. The nearest airport is the Columbus Airport. The conference hotel, I believe, runs a shuttle, as does most of the other hotels in the area. The convention center itself is not far from I-70 in Ohio. It's funny, nobody today thinks about giving directions. You know, you just punch it into a GPS or print out the map from Google Maps or something. And but it's actually pretty easy to find. It's a pretty large complex.
Fantastic. We've covered your sponsors, we've covered the show, we've covered the things. The only thing that people need to do now is, are you looking for people to pre-register?
I was just going to say, we haven't talked about registration. Yes, people really should register, even if you're only coming in as what we call an enthusiast, which is free. As part of our mission to be about free and open source software, as part of our mission to be about making things open to everyone, our basic registration, which gets you into the three tracks, UbuCon, Medical Track, and Early Penguins on Friday, and gets you into all of the tracks on Saturday. It's a free registration, but only if you pre-register. This year, for the first year, we're going to charge a nominal $5 for people who walk in, just to cover the extra work that has to be done for people who walk in. And we do get a number of walk-ins. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be crazy about it. You know, we're not going to charge for senior citizens. We're not going to charge for any students. So, you know, if you're a student with an ID card or you're with your parents, we're going to get your word for it for, you know, you being a student. We ourselves as both family and business professional friendly, so you know, mom and or dad want to come down with some of the kids, we're not going to charge you $30, we're going to charge you $5 or $10, and the kids can all come in. Also have two other levels, as I mentioned before, of registration. You can register as a supporter, which is only $65, as a thank you for supporting the Ohio Linux Fest. We will give you lunch on Saturday, which is a really nice box lunch. We have a vegan dish available as well, and it's actually gluten-free too for people who have that issue. And we'll all give you a conference t-shirt, which is really cool. I'm going to get the pictures online very soon. They're red, and they have Linus 91, or Linus, I always mispronounce his name, on the back to celebrate 20 years of Linux. And then if you want to take our professional and personal classes on Friday with the OLF Institute, it's a $350 registration. And as I said, that gets you lunch on both Friday and Saturday, and a t-shirt, and the Friday classes.
That's fantastic.
One other thing I also bring up, which is not on our website yet, and I really need to move on this, is our anti-harassment policy. There's been a problem, especially in the U.S., I can't speak about other countries, where presenters and attendees both have acted in a, I'll use the term unprofessional manner. There have been cases of assaults of various types. There have been cases of presenters getting on stage and showing pictures of mostly naked people. And we do not tolerate any of this. And we will have a public statement in our program and on our website detailing this and what to do if there's a problem. Our speakers have been told for 3 years now that we will not tolerate images in their talks that they would not want their boss or a family member to see. We do not also tolerate language that they would not want their or their family to see. And what I told them the first year that we did this was, you know, I'm not going to throw you off the stage if you slip and let out a bad word. But if you stand up there and start cursing like the mythical sailor, that's it. And our speakers have, for the most part, overwhelmingly accepted this. And this year we're taking us further and encouraging our attendees and our sponsors and everybody who walks through the door to behave that way as well. We want this to be open for everybody, and that means acting the way you would at work, acting the way you would in front of your CEO, acting the way you would in front of your grandparents. And this is something that we expect from everybody.
Fair enough. I can't argue with any point there. I don't see any reason to not do that. I just find it a bit of a pity that you need to go to such extents that people don't realize that it's a community and some things.
It's an absolute tragedy that we have actually say things like this, but I can point you to a list of things that have happened at previous other conferences. And unfortunately, there have been a couple of occasions in the past, the Ohio Lynx Fest, that aren't on this list. And we're embarrassed, but it's honestly true. We had a vendor whose background had a woman in a very small bikini, which, I mean, you know, you wouldn't show this in the office. You wouldn't show this to your CEO. And there have been cases at other conferences where people have made sexually inappropriate references, and it's we shouldn't have to say these things, but unfortunately we do.
Yep. Okay. Enough about that, Anil. Let's move on to some leisure things. Sure. I know the Ohio Linux Fest has been the boilerplate template for a lot of other fests. How open is your planning, and can you just tell us a little bit about that?
We meet regularly on irc.oftc.net channel /OhioLinux every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Anybody is welcome to come and get involved. We keep a wiki on SourceForge, which is closed to editing but visible for everybody. We try to dump out as much information as we can as a hope that other, especially new FOSS conferences can look at as a template to use for trying to decide what should we do. We've helped out various other conferences which consider themselves, if not spin-offs, then maybe little siblings of the Ohio Linux Fest. I think Southeast Linux is one of them.
Yeah.
There was one in Ontario, Toronto maybe, that unfortunately seems to have folded. I hope that's not permanent. Indiana Linux Fest was new this year. We share some staff members. Some of our most valuable people are also valuable to Indiana. So we try to keep our planning as open as possible. Anybody is welcome to join in. And we encourage people to stop by if they'd like. The information for the IRC is also available on the wiki.
Fantastic. And can people offer to volunteer to help out at the show?
Yes. On the front page of the OhioLinux.org, there's currently an email address, and I'm actually in the process of building a form for people to actually use so they can volunteer if they want to volunteer for specific areas. Like, we need people to help work security, checking IDs at the door. We're going to use colored bands this year, and we get a lot of walk-in people, and we've never really paid close attention to make sure that people are actually registering when they come in. And people have said, well, you're free, who cares? And it's not that we want to take people's $5 and that type of thing, but the more people that are registered and that we know are there, the more we can go to our sponsors and say, look, we had 1,500 people, 1,600 people, 2,000 people show up. This is why you want to sponsor Ohio Linux Fest. So we're not enforcing registration this way to keep people out. It's to bring our sponsors in and make us more, have them bring us more money so we can continue to grow. So we need people. Sorry?
I guess the fire marshals would be interested as well, just.
Actually, I don't think we come anywhere close to hitting the fire marshal limit. We're using, I think, about 1/10, if that wow. much, of the convention center. The convention center is huge. And we're in those the three ballrooms, but right near us are rooms that you could take those three ballrooms and they'd barely fit in one of the corners. We're nothing compared to what this place can handle. We need people to help with security, to help deal with problems, watch the rooms, watch the doors. We need people to help with the speakers' chairs, to assist with any of the speakers if they need it, to help introduce the speakers and monitor question and answer period. We need people to work at our bookstore, which is a partnership with Barnes & Noble, where we offer up a variety of BOSS-related books, some of which have been authored by some of our speakers. We need people to help with the sponsors loading in, loading out their booths and tables. We need, oh my goodness, I know I'm missing other things we need. We need people to help with our registration tables in the mornings. I'm sure there's other stuff. It like I said, I'm in the middle of working on this page, but if people would like to volunteer, they should take a look at the OhioLinux.org webpage for the information they need.
Fantastic. Let's have them do that. It's getting kind of late here now, so is there anything else you want to add?
I think I have absolutely covered everything, including going on an accidental rant there for a minute. Sorry about that.
Not at all. Just remember that if you want, you can always do a 5-minute update as a show, and we'll pop it into the queue without a problem. And we'll also be mentioning this on our monthly roundups as well.
Oh, that's terrific. So once I have more details on our keynotes, we can get you that.
That'd be fantastic. Okay, and with that, I'll thank you very much for calling in. And folks, if you are going to the Ohio Linux Fest and you're interested in doing a booth for HPR, get in touch, admin@hackerpublicradio.org. Thank you very much, Moose, and talk to you later.
Thank you. Take care. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. For more information on the show and how to contribute your own shows, visit hackerpublicradio.org.